Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. That all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's pray before we are seated. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful to be in your house, Father, for this opportunity. Lord, open your word to us. Bring forth what your prophet would have for us, Father. And Lord, we truly are thankful to be in this age that we live in, Father, where we have the access to your word. And Lord, help us to not take it lightly and to place it in our hearts, to dress ourselves with your word now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Well, we basically had a Thanksgiving lunch, so there's tryptophan, pumpkin pie, all kinds of stuff, so y'all don't sleep on me on the first page. This is the midway through a three-part series. If you weren't here on the first one, the first one was to misinterpret. Brother Branham talks about the three must-nots. You hear a lot about what you should do, what you shouldn't do as far as the flesh, the body goes, you know, how to act, all the stuff. But this pertaining to his word, amen? And the second one is to misplace. And as I was talking to the brothers at the table today, even with the stature of the perfect man, Brother Branham had a lot on faith. The next one, he got a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less. So as we went, there was less quotes, less mentioning of that specific word that Brother Branham mentioned as his opening. So, if anything, I have learned to study in reverse. And so, as I found out, I'm going to be speaking next Sunday because Brian will be out of town, and I'll finish up this series. Well, when I went to start this morning, there were four quotes. That's all there was. And I was like, man, this is going to be hard. So, but if you study in reverse and you look at what Brother Branham said, and you find out how he used that grammar and all the other sermons, it all comes back to life. All right, so just remember, this is misplaced. In Acts 20, this is our theme scripture, 28 through 30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things. And perverse things we went over in the sermon before, to draw disciples away after them. So they would just tweak things a little bit, and it creates something new, and it gets everybody's attention, and they will even congregate around it or even try to denominate around it. So in this study, Brother Branham really didn't have a whole lot to say about misplace. So, I searched out the Strong's for what the Bible would have as far as misplaced in the Bible. There isn't actually a lot because it's not a Greek word. But the Strong's does say in this definition, it is properly, to be properly or disgraced, like someone singled out because they misplaced their confidence or support. So who are we talking about? Eve, a form of the church. She misplaced her confidence in what the serpent was telling her. Amen? So it is to behoove us in the scripture before to be careful with those who enter in among you and who rise up in your midst with something new. Just if as long as it goes back to the word and you can find it in the message, then there's you have your basis. Because they misplaced their confidence or support, believing the big lie. Amen? That was all there was. And furthermore, to be ashamed, personally humiliated. You say, okay, this is where Brother Branham is going to go with this. To be ashamed. In Mark 8:38, King James Version, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So why would you be ashamed in this hour with everything that we have is because you're not versed in the word. So if you're ashamed of something, you don't know the answer to a question that somebody asks you, right? You don't know. So you'll make something up. Like, you know, and then of course that would be a lie, right? Because you're speaking something you don't know of, right? So same thing. So we're not ashamed. So Brother Branham goes here. One little word is what has taken us into all this trouble, not disbelieving it, but just misplacing it. Why? Because she listened, like that definition. Eve just had Satan to misplace. Just give her a reason. Down at Brother Williams, I just got through going through this down in Santa Maria. That's the thing that brought us up from the Garden of Eden, caused every sick child, as I prayed for a little spastic baby laying there a few moments ago coming in. What caused that? Because Eve never disbelieved it, but she took a reason. She reasoned with it, that it would be reasonable that this would be all right. And it caused every death and every sickness and every sorrow and every heartache. And how are we going to get back in? If it caused 6,000 years of this, how are we going to get back anything less than every perfect word the way it is written? The greatest battle that has ever fought is where? In your mind. So what is that is? It's reasoning. So if you do something you know is not right, you inevitably, human nature, will try to make an excuse or reason that out. Why I had to do that, right? Same thing that Brother Branham's talking about here. The devil won the battle over the human race by reasoning with the human race. Just reason. Why it stands to reason this would be. It's a question. It stands to reason. If the reasoning is contrary to the word, the reason is wrong. That is pretty easy, right? The word is right, just the way it is written. Don't put any private interpretation. Just say it the way it is written and believe it like that. See, God took care of it just exactly the way it's supposed to be. So let's just believe it that way. If Eve would have done that, we wouldn't have this problem, right? And Eve is a type. We're not up here always beating up on women. It's a type. Don't reason. Now, it is the word, every word. The Holy Spirit in a man. Every sentence of the Bible, the Holy Spirit in you will punctuate with an amen. Because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. And if his Spirit is in there, he's going to recognize what is true, right? And if he's in you, how can he say, well, that was for another age? That was for this or that was for that? The days of assembling yourself together are past, right? You hear that around the message. Stay home, you push play. That was for another age. Does that sound like a lie to you? It is. He has to say it. Amen. Now, as I said the other day, the first thing God gave his people to fortify them was his word. And he's never changed. He can't change. Now, creeds won't work, denominations won't work, education won't work. Give me just a second. This has got to come off. None of these things, every one of them has totally failed and will fail. Sorry, I turned it off. We're back. There's only one thing that will be worked. That is the word. Amen. That's from Jehovah Jireh. Now, that's how the church starts. That's how it always starts. You start from the bottom. You don't start from the top. A man trying to climb a ladder tries to go on top first. He'll break his neck. You've got to start and build up to that. And here we find that in the beginning of the promise of God being made manifest through a slightly doubted, interpreted program of God, that's the same way sin began in the Garden of Eden. Amen. That's how death started by sin, was when one word of God was misconstrued or doubted. You can't doubt or misplace one word of God. That's thus saith the Lord, because it's every word to be so. Amen? God didn't waste his breath to speak 1,200 sermons via Brother Branham to be at naught. Amen? Every word is true. And here, Sarah, even to whom the promise, Sarah being a woman, which is a type of the church, gave doubt to the original program of God's promised word and said, "You, Abraham, my husband, take unto you this beautiful maid and live with her and be a husband to her. And God will give this seed of promise through her. And I'll take the child." See, that's just bypass one little iota, change the whole program. See, Sarah said, "Well, take Hagar, because there's no way we're having a kid. We've been trying this for 70 years, right? And change the whole program. Therefore, we've got to take every word of God as thus saith the Lord. Every word of God is true." And that's from Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck. When every scripture in the Bible has the same application, you've got to set it in its place. So what are we talking about? Misplacing something. I'll tell you a little story, and I'm going to use William as an example. It's been entertaining, to say the least, to be a parent. So, I assume, because he is my kid, that I did the same thing. So, nothing to be ashamed of. He likes to tell stories, and he's very good. Well, you know how you tell a story, and the facts are there, but it's a lot funner to yourself if you help the story, and you tell it a different way or add some things to it. You know, and the story was, he was talking to some kids, and he was telling them about, he goes to a private school. Well, he don't ride a bus. Well, he described that he had to ride the bus to go to this private school, and I was like, yeah, that's not true. You get drove by your parents or your grandparents to school, so you don't ride the bus. But it sounded cooler because they rode the bus. So he was adding to that story because it didn't really fit in with everyone else's narrative. So it wasn't a lie, but it was a lie. So God's word is the same way. We've heard it countless times. You guys have been in the message way longer than I've been alive, probably. So with that being said, we don't need to add to it to spice it up, to make it sound better. We simply take God at his word, okay? When every scripture in the Bible has the same application, you've got to set it in its place. And to misplace it, you might make him God in one age, and the next age you'd make him a history to misplace it. So you mustn't misplace the scripture. He is God all the time. If you made him today a God of history, what was back yonder, and he isn't the same today, what are you going to do with Hebrews 13 and 8? See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now you see what this would do and what it has done. It has been Satan's main goal is to misconstrue and to misplace and to dislocate God's word. It's already done it. Made him deny his own word, to misplace the scriptures. And that's Christ revealed in his own word. And in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So I am not ashamed of the gospel. I know where I stand. All I have to do is look back and hear and compare it with what Brother Branham said, and you got 2 plus 2 equals 3. Now, there's some time ago, I was down to a home having a prayer meeting, and Brother Junior Jackson, I heard him a while ago, or I thought I did, he was with me, and he had gone through speaking, and there was a minister from another church, and no more than I had hardly gotten to the floor, he jumped up and started wanting to fuss with me. Well, there happened to be about 5 ministers there, and they was all going to climb onto this man at once and said, "No, don't do that." Now, he challenged me, so let he and I talk it over. We'll he started off, we speak where the Bible speaks, he's telling Brother Brown this, and we're silent where it is silent, and so forth. And away he went. And just in a few minutes, I kept marking down the scriptures he had misquoted and misplaced. Said, there wasn't but 12 people ever did receive the Holy Ghost. That was the apostles, and the divine healing was only given to those 12 and so forth and so on, you see. He just missed the mark by a million miles. So after that, after about a half an hour of him speaking, I asked him, and he said I was the devil. And so then, after I got through speaking, I said, now first thing I want to say, brother, I forgive you for that. Amen. Because if he wouldn't have, he's obviously blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Before, you didn't mean that. I know you didn't. For if you're a minister and I'm a minister, we should be brothers, see? And then I said, now, to misunderstand each other in the scripture is something different. Amen. So that quote is basically just to show you, you know where you stand. Amen. Now, we find then in this great time of the beginning, when God fortified his children in the fortress of the word and told them now that that was it. Now, just think, Eve didn't just turn the whole thing down. She didn't say, well, God, I guess it's altogether wrong. One little thing and I disagree with it, so out it goes. I don't believe a word of it. No, I believe half of it, Lord. No, Satan just misconstrued a little bitty fraction of it. Not all of it, just a little bit of it. And because of that, she listened to that one little term. It caused every funeral procession, made every grave, made every gray hair, every sick baby, every sin that was ever committed because of just taking out one little speck of God's word and misplacing it. So does it behoove us to be instant, in season, out of season, to know your word, to know the Bible? Amen? Why? Because then you'll recognize when something pops up and you're like, you know, if it's something that has some truth in it, go weigh it out. As Brother Brown said, put it on the shelf, because it may be all true, but then it also may not be. So then you don't got to reason with it. All you got to do is go search it out. Now, if the infinite God, a God of full of love, to misconstrue his word, just don't believe it, all of it, just part of it, would let all this happen because of just misbelieving a little bit of it, I believe we're going to have to take every bit of it and get back again, because it's misturning it, saying the Bible says this, but honest, it doesn't mean that. It does mean that. See, it means just that way. So we keep it that way and the way he said it. Amen. And that's from putting on the whole armor of God. Oh my. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Why would you be offended in Christ or his word? Now, don't be offended. I believe there is more people offended in Jesus than any other person that ever lived on earth. They get offended too quick. Isn't that the truth? It is snap culture today. Instant judgment, right? Just now, in this misplaced beatitude, slipped over there so he could get in tonight. He said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Don't be offended in me. No matter what that takes place, I am, everything is working right on schedule. So you just go ahead and believe it. That's all right. It's all right. Just go ahead and believe it. You know, there, Jesus didn't rebuke John for that. He didn't say, well, I'm ashamed of my apostle. I'm ashamed of my prophet. No, he never said that. He didn't say, what's the world going to say about this when you come preaching, oh, such a great Messiah and such a great Messiah, and then you send out to ask if I'm the Messiah. So he's talking about John the Baptist when he's in prison. So he sends his disciples to Jesus and he says, are you the Messiah? I want to be sure. So he goes on to, you know, tell the disciples to go back to John and say that the deaf hear and the blind receive their sight. In Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen? So, once you believe in your heart unto righteousness, what do you have to do next? You confess it with your mouth. You literally have to say something. We're not mute. Brother Branham says in one place, the only thing that you have to do once you're saved is to share it with someone else. It's our duty. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Amen. So why would you not say something to someone? Because you're ashamed. You don't really know where you stand. You're on shaky ground. You're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure if you've got the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you would move forward with a mighty force. Amen? As the old saying goes, we put our money where our mouth is, right? So if we believe something and we are convinced, then we will speak it. Amen? I told the brothers today, I seen a reel. It was very good. Nominal guy. And he's talking about healing. And he says, you need something in your body. So you ask God and you pray for healing. He said, you just disbelieved. You're right there, right out of your mouth. You prayed for healing. It's already a work that's already done. You don't have to ask God for healing. It's already done. You claim it. And then this scripture here, you profess it. And if you don't, you don't actually believe it. That's crazy, isn't it? Think about it. Your first prayer, Lord, I need this. He's already done it. But you don't have to ask. Like Brother Peter said, it's like the lady or the man would go through the prayer line multiple times. And Brother Brown's like, why do you keep coming back through here? You only got to ask God once. Amen. Now this, I can only say of myself speaking, I believe that back before the Antediluvian destruction, back in the days of Job and so forth, that they kept the time by the stars. And we understand, or back before that time, the world stood upright. Amen. And then in the sin of man, the overthrow of the world, and it tilted, and the floods came. Therefore, we have this great ice glaciers and so forth, and the top of the and all the top and the bottom of the earth is full of ice. We know that the earth does not set straight up; it sets tilted. That shook it out from where the moon and the stars and where was looking at and misplaced them. So no longer are you able to look at the stars and the moon and keep an accurate time. So we don't know the day or the hour when Christ would return. Amen? Do you see how God hid it from the wise and the prudent? Because if the earth would have been standing upright as it always was, they would know the exact hour God would return. That shook it out from where the moon and the stars were. They was looking at and misplaced then. Or you could not keep time by it anymore because it's setting lopsided, set and tilted back. Therefore, it would not hit them stars the same time because it's out of cater to them stars. You understand? I believe that that's what it is. It's laying back and it's back in that condition. And that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have these things out of cater. He knows what he's doing. Just letting it run like that for a little time. He's going to straighten it back up, right? Amen? And I truly believe that this thing was done, that at this last day is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. He hasn't done it before, And the reason he hasn't done it is to keep the church a watching and praying all the time. Not knowing when it was coming, but you remember in Daniel 12, he said, "The wise shall understand in the last days." And in the last days, see, it has been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so important that you know and you're not ashamed that you do have the Holy Ghost. Bringing the church into in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? Amen? He hid it from the eyes of the wise and the prudent. He told them, you can discern the stars. You can say, oh, it's pink sky at night, sailor's delight. You know, pink sky in the morning, sailors take warning. You know, you know the seasons. You know how things work, right? From the 7th week of Daniel is that what that scripture was there, that quote was from. Look at the bull and the cow. Look at the elk, the male and the female. Look at anything that you want to. You'll always find that the male is the prettiest besides the human race. The male is the ugliest and the female is the prettiest. That's right. If you see a male that's a little pretty thing, you just remember there's a misplaced cell somewhere. Now that ought to make all of us ugly ones feel good. Amen? But it is when you see a man looking and acting like a woman, there's a tiny bit of perversion there somewhere. Amen. And you see a woman trying to act like a man, it's perverted there again. They was both male and at the first time, and God separated them, and he put a masculine spirit in the man and took the feminine spirit and put it in the woman. Amen? Thank the Lord. And when you see a man trying to be feminine or a woman trying to be masculine, there's something wrong somewhere. And I'll give you credit to our Secretary of War. A lot of people don't like the meeting that he called. He had every single general from the whole entire company there to have this meeting to end wokeism. You say, why would he do that? Why? Number one, he's a godly man. And he knows that God is not going to bless our nation if we're backing those sinful moves. You say, well, it's a little too late. That's true. He doesn't know that, but God bless him for trying. Amen. Good move on our part. There's peace and safety. And then sudden destruction. All right, we're heading for that peace and safety like Johnny B. Good. I'll take what we get until we leave, right? Amen? Notice, so that they would be one, both soul and body, he took a rib from his side and made a woman. See, a woman is not in the original creation. She's a byproduct of a man. Can you imagine being a man and a woman in the original creation? Thank the Lord he chose to change his mind. Amen. Now, he had that planned all along, but, I mean, as the first being, it was man and woman together. A woman is not the original creation. She's a byproduct of the man. See, today in America, she's the boss, God, everything else. She'll twist down the street and send more souls to hell than all the bootleg joints you could place between here and Los Angeles. That's right. But yet, a good woman is the best thing that God gave to a man because it's part of him. Amen. I can say amen to that. Amen. Just by the way, Christina helped me out today with a Band-Aid. And I showed her at lunch that the medicine bled through and formed a heart. Is that true love? It is. It's a sign. I'm just pointing out the obvious. I mean, I'm a literal person. Like, I see things as literal. So those are things. Take note of those things. But yet a good woman is the best thing that God could give a man because it's part of him. But of this Hollywood down here and such hell holes as that has corrupted the nation and the life of the nation and broke the backbone through the immorals of womanhood and motherhood. Through the divorce courts and everything else. I'll get off my text. I'll come back again sometime. It's appealing now. Now, he makes it educational, intellectual, Did not the Holy Ghost tell us in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, that in the last days it would become an intellectual group in the church? Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. You say, them is communist. Oh no, them is so-called Christians. Is the knit group of the believers communist? They are. The ministers stand up and control the people from the pulpit. Communism, Nicolaitanism, same spirit, right? It's control. God wants to be in control of you, not me, not Brother Brian, not any man. We want you to be in control via the Holy Ghost. That's our desire. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. You say them as communists. Oh no, them as so-called Christians. See, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And the power is the word made manifest. Amen. How does God make his word manifest? We've been over this. By bringing it to pass. How does he do that? With us. We are his body. He's the Holy Spirit, the mind, the head that controls the body. Amen? And if you're yielding yourself, you're confessing, then this does what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. Said the gospel came to us not through word only, but through power and demonstration of the Spirit. I'm speaking of the army of God now, fortified. Amen? To take on the whole armor of God in 62. And in Titus 2, 7 and 9, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. That is kind of a mouthful. So what is he saying? If you know your Bible, you know the message, and someone comes up and is speaking contrary to you, you're not ashamed, you're not unlearned, you know what you're supposed to say back. And that's his word, amen? Stand by it. You keep putting it back, eventually Satan he just runs out of ammunition. We have way more than he does. Brother Branham says, how does he live? Well, if you'll just take some of God's word, he'll live. Now, that wasn't what he said. Did you notice every word? How does he live? Oh, he eats in there. No, he's dying fast. That's flesh. Well, he belongs to church. He believes everything but that. He's still dead. Do you get it? He can only live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the high priest, the bishop, the cardinal, the pastor, God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do we know that it's God's word? Because he said it. Then how do you know that he said it? He proves it. He proves it by manifesting it through his body. He proves his word. Notice then, if that be so, your confession will not make you live. Your church membership will not make you live. Notice, by his word only. Not just one word misplaced. No one shall one word kill the human race. In the Bible, in Revelation 22, one word will still kill the whole thing. His name will be taken from the book of life. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word. So that's the whole purpose of this, the three must nots. Don't misplace, misinterpret, or dislocate his word. Not one word No, I mean not two words, just one word. Not one sentence, one word. One word. Oh, people, do you understand? Now, I'm not just exactly taking this, talking to this audience. This is taped, you see, and it goes all over the world. Thank the Lord for his preparedness. Do you understand? People of the world, that one word, not one sentence, not one paragraph, not one word, that's all Eve disbelieved. God proved it. But then if you keep every word, what? You shall live. They doubted one word brought death to the human race. But man shall not live by bread alone for his physical strength, but by every word. Every word, just the way it is written. The Bible says it is of no private interpretation. Why? Because every one of us would have a different interpretation. We would. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. My mind doesn't work like my wife's mind. She thinks of things differently than I do. But at the end, we have the same goal, right? No man has anywhere at all to try to anything interpret the word of God. God is his own interpreter. When he promised, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He said, "A virgin shall conceive," and she did. See, whatever God says, he proves it. Amen. That's from proving his word in 64. He said, "Let there be light." That's a simple saying, right? You think? But how did it come to pass? He believed his own word. God believed his own word. That's why my comment about the healing, you know, that you ask for. Let there be light. I say maybe not even say it the way you've been praying it for 30 years. Say, let there be healing. And believe what you say. Why? Not because you said it, because he already said it. And the church, you can't talk to them about the full gospel and the power of God because the God of this world has blinded them from the truths of God, and they lean to their own understanding. They want to reason with it. Well, surely it can't be that easy. You're standing up here and telling me that I've been praying wrong for 30 years. When the woman come into the church and bobbed off their hair because their pastor tells them, "Oh, it's all right. That man's crazy. Don't listen to him." But the Bible says she has done wrong. When she does it, God refused to answer her prayer. And some of them women make their another disgrace and try to be a preacher. Then she has done a double thing. The Bible said she should not do that. None of it. But the church organization will receive it and ordain her and send her out. They're learning their own understanding. It ain't God's understanding. One word of God misplaced or misconstrued, or it would not accept, breaks the whole chain. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why is it? Women, you hear me preach against these things of wearing shorts and pants and hairdos and all the things bobbed off hair and all the kind of stuff. And then every year when I come back, you're still sitting in the same condition. It's because you're leaning to your own understanding instead of the word of the Lord. And pastors, why don't you clean up your church? Because you're going to your denominational creed instead of the word of the Lord. Right? Lean not to your own understanding. Well, lean not to your own understanding, but upon the word of the Lord. Amen? You can take the Bible, and you can read in there where Jesus doesn't say he drank wine. He might have. I don't know. They did a lot back then. Well, if he did it then, we can do it now, right? Do you believe in prophets? Because the prophet for this age said that you shouldn't. Now, there's word to back it up. Don't lean on to your own understanding. but upon the word of the Lord. What's more valuable to you in your life? Obeying? Yes. Why? Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? The punishment that comes from disbelief is hell. The reward for confessing that he is the Lord is what? Life. They would not accept it because they would not accept vindication. So, Brother Branham was just full of it. He lived in the 1950s and 60s, and today is 2025. Grow up. That's what they say. Jesus come with a gospel just exactly the way he said he would come, even many times. And that's lean not unto thine understanding in 65. So Brother Branham uses this word, misconstrue, and it's the same context as misplace. So when I found out there was only a handful, and it keeps getting smaller and smaller as we go, I got to looking at the statements that Brother Branham was making, and I went back and come to find out he uses the word misconstrue way more than he used the word misplaced. It's the same meaning. So let's read a few of these. But let me tell you, Revelation, that's the last part of the book. Whosoever shall take one word out of the book of this prophecy or add one word to it, his part will be taken from the book of life. Kind of like the same William story. He wanted to add to it, you know, and say he rode a bus. It makes it sound cooler. Well, we don't got to do that with God's word. Because the consequences are severe. We don't want our name taken out of that book. And we definitely don't want the plagues added to us for adding to, right? Jesus said in the middle of the book, there is your three witnesses again. Genesis, the New Testament, and the day today. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, he didn't mean that. As long as you do 99% of what you know is the truth, you'll be all right. He was talking to people who were the theologians, to the highest, those priests, the great, 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 great grandfathers had to be priests, to misconstrue one word of it. Why? It was absolutely a death penalty. They had to be stoned for one word to be misplaced. But they had the wrong interpretation of it. Therefore, when the word itself, Jesus, walking among them, when God promised to send a Messiah and sent it in the very swaddling cloth that he promised it would come in, they had a different swaddling for it to be wrapped in. It didn't fit their narrative. Let me say this. So is it today that they don't get it? It's not in swaddling of denominationalism or intellectual. It's in the swaddling of the power and the resurrection and the manifestation of the risen Christ. That the way God promised it, and not in the swaddling of people's thoughts of it. Amen? Seed shall not be heir with the shuck in 65. Now, in the book of Revelation, he said, if any man will take one word out of there or add one word to it, the same will be taken his part out of the book of life. So you see, it's not, well, I believe this, but I don't know about that. You got to believe it all, brother and sister. Maybe you haven't got faith to stand up to it, but don't try to stand in somebody else's way. Do you find that? People that don't understand, they'll automatically put up a rock of offense and be like, that's it. We're done. Not gonna hear what you have to say because it doesn't fit our creed. I've often said I wished I had faith when my life is over to go like Enoch, not die, but just take an afternoon walk and go home with God. I'd like to do that, but if I haven't got that kind of faith, I won't stand in somebody else's way that has got that kind of faith. See? What is it? Psalms 1. those that stand in, down in the way and deliberately block, because if they can't have it, nobody else is going to have it either. Now, we're in the evening time, and the messenger down through the age, we find out that at the beginning, when a messenger was sent to misconstrue his word or to doubt one word, it was total annihilation and external separation from God. To misconstrue that messenger's word, and the first messenger was God himself. And every other message has been God speaking through man, since which is God's word, for there was no man then for him to speak through, but just the one he was talking to. But since he's made a man and redeemed man, it's been God speaking through man. He uses not the agency of any mechanical device. What? Say it again. But since he's made man and redeemed man, it's been God speaking through man. He uses not the agency of any mechanical device, but the agency of man. A man that's surrendered and consecrated to God. I'm going to leave that there. I won't make any comments, but I think you know. The end time evangelism in 62. And Paul said in Galatians 1:8, if an angel from heaven, let alone a preacher, if an angel from heaven would preach any other gospel than that that I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's right. Now you see, you don't presume, you've got to. It's got to be the truth. Stay with it. But just presuming. You hear so much today, I say again, about God being a good God. There was a teenage boy said not long ago, said, you know, the Lord just loves me so well, he just lets me do anything. That's kind of funny, isn't it? It ain't funny to him because he don't know what kind of punishment's coming. There's an old saying, what you sow, you will reap. Friends, he's a good God. I'll admit that. But he is a God of justice. He is a God that requires justice. How can he be just and disobey his own laws? How can he defile his own holy laws? If he is just, he has to stick by what he said. If he will require this of you and you don't come to the point, if he isn't just, then why didn't he let Eve get by with that one little bitty misconstrue of the word? Fools, trotting where angels fear to trod. Presuming of 62. In 2 Timothy 2:14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So what is he talking about? He's talking about someone that is, I assume, a preacher or something. They strive not about words with no profit. So they're up rambling, talking about this and this and that, and not making a point or even reading a scripture during a sermon. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So back to the definition that we read in the beginning. The only reason that you wouldn't speak his words when it's necessary, when the time for his words need to be spoken, and his words could need to be spoken to anyone, to your brother, your sister, to your daughter, to your brother. Why don't you? Because you're ashamed. If you cared for their soul, you would tell them the truth, no matter how much it hurts. Because one day, they're going to say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me that these consequences would happen because I didn't obey his word? But shun from profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. It's like a lie. It starts off pretty little with one word. Then somebody else asks you about that story, and then, shoot, man, I got to cover that up. So now I got two lies on top of the one lie. And then someone else asks me, and then you got to lie on top of that lie. And guess what? It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, you're going to run out of room and things to explain. And guess what? You're going to get caught. As my I'll quote my dad. He likes to debate, maybe the name, Bates. If you talking to somebody and they're just determined to get their point through and you know it's like there's no Bible for it, it's pointless, they're not seeing it correctly, it's like a rabbit. They'll run around, run around, run around, run around, run around, run around, and they will always go back to the same hole they started. So you don't need to tire yourself out, brother and sister. You just stand right there at the old hole they left, and they'll just go round and 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 round, and then be back at the same place. And then you just give it to them again. And then they go round and round and round and round and round, back to the same hole. And then they'll wait. No, they're not getting nowhere. Why? They can't. They know the only way to get back out of that lie is to go through the hole they come out. So, we come to this. To misplace, now this is in black, so this is me. To misplace intentionally, thinking you are helping God tell a story. You know what? We've heard Samson and Delilah 100 times. I'm going to add some juice to it. I've heard Noah's story 100 times. Jonah in the well. Going to add something to it. I'm going to help God out. By adding or taking away to make it sound better or to fit a church creed or a narrative. Shame on us if we do that. The days of the fivefold are past. It's another day. You think you're going to believe that? The days of going to church are past. You should stay home, listen to a tape only on a mechanical device. You going to believe that? The days of doing all he said is past. You only got to believe half of it. 51%. Anybody for 51%? 51% sold. As long as you do 51%, you'll make it to heaven. Doing all that he said. Don't believe that. The days of being an active doer of God's word is past. All I have to do is believe it. I don't have to confess it to a person when they say something to me and you know it's wrong. Like, brother, that doesn't say that in the Bible. You know that, right? If you don't, you should find it. Oh, I can find it for you. Be an active doer. Don't believe that. All I have to do is believe. I don't have to understand, meaning confess that God has not revealed it to you. Don't believe that. Don't believe the lie. That's the Satan hissing at you. I believe this quote, but not that quote. There's 10 quotes that say this, and then there's one quote that says that. See, it's a mystery. I'm going to believe this one quote instead of the 10. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Now, I'm not saying any of you in here do this, but I know people that do. Really? You're going to throw out the majority of the Bible just because you have some whim on one quote that Brother Branham might have stated incorrectly or not according to the other ones, but was, you know, he said he would give them a way out. Right? They'll jump all over that. Phew, we got that quote. See, Brother Branham said it. Don't believe that. Amen?